Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
My name is Chip Yoder, and I graduated from CIU from seminary in 2007. And my mission field since CIU looks like being a witness in the classroom, 6th and 7th grades where I teach, as well as working with the guard, being a godly influence there, doing my best, doing my job to serve the people of South Carolina. I teach in the public school, can't just have a sermon or whatever. One thing I learned at CIU, amongst many things, is just to think deeply about not just the Bible and your faith, but also your worldview. And I want my students, to try to get my students to think why they do anything. Like, why are we doing this? No one is neutral. You have beliefs about religion. And so that's a religious belief. So one of the girls asked me, she's like, well, Mr. Yoder, what should we do? You know? I said, this is me talking, but if I were you, I'd try to find the religion that is historically verifiable. Mickey Bowden, he said, ministry flows from being. And in other words, you can't give what you don't have. Don't try to fake it. So first of all, have that relationship with God, that quiet time with the Lord. And then from that relationship, your ministry is going to flow out of that. Your conversations with the students or whatever, your coworkers, is going to flow from that relationship you have with God.
Well, good morning, you guys. Wow, there are so many faces. I know the light is bright. That was Chip Yoder. Chip Yoder, you guys, is one of this year's 12 recent alumni recognition recipients. I know it's a mouthful. And up on the stage with me are some of the others. You'll get to meet them in just a minute. But just so you guys know, I hope you know this. We have some pretty neat alumni, you guys, that come out of this place, which means in these seats right now, we have some pretty awesome students. The Lord is working in your hearts. The Lord worked in each of our hearts while we're here, and it's why we're back here. And as we're singing these songs, I just got goosebumps, you guys, just thinking about the faithfulness of God in this place as He meets you where you are, as I get to hear about how He's meeting our alumni where they are, and how He's doing a work around the world. So the recent Alumni Recognition Award, for those of you who don't know, is every year we recognize 12 recent alumni who have gone out from CIU. They can be graduate students, undergraduate students, but God is using them to make an impact in unique and powerful ways wherever He sent them to serve. So whether that's the marketplace, whether that's ministry, missions, locally, globally, you are going to meet some incredible people today. Also, quick plug for them, you guys, you'll get to hear a little bit of their stories, but they're here all weekend. So find them, shake their hand, grab a meal with them, take a walk with them, get to know their stories, because it will change, could change the direction of yours. Well, you guys, welcome. We are so glad you're back on campus. I know for some of you, it's been a while. Lindsay, I know that you grace this campus quite often, and we're so thankful for you. But real quick, will you introduce yourselves to the students? Will you just give us the name, your name, the year you graduated, what you studied, and what you do now? And Aaron, we'll start with you.
Hi, I am Erin Elizabeth Austin. I graduated in 2008. I actually started out in nursing school, and because God likes to change plans sometimes, I graduated with a general studies degree, and I work with two nonprofits now. I started a ministry called Broken But Priceless Ministries for people who are dealing with chronic illness, as well as their caregivers, and the message is that even though our bodies may be broken, we're priceless in God's eyes. Mm. And the other thing that I do is I get to work at a Christian children's home, and I live in the mountains of Virginia, and I work at Joy Ranch Christian Home for Children.
My name is Ben Batchelor. I graduated 2009 from the seminary, the MDiv, Intercultural Studies. What I do now, I'm a missionary, and I work as a creation care specialist. In a nutshell, briefly described what that means. Basically, I serve as a consultant for other missionaries around the world, helping them develop gospel-centered and gospel-driven environmental projects for church planting. How do we put those two together as stewards of creation. And I also teach and preach in the churches here in the U.S. about our role as stewards of creation and how the gospel is center to all of that.
Hey, my name is Betsy Killens. I'm a missionary kid, grew up in Colombia, South America, came to CIU in, yeah, that's what we're talking about. 2008, I graduated, I kind of blended my master's degree. I focused in intercultural studies and pastoral counseling. I came because I wanted to be able to understand people better so that I could apply the word of God in discipleship with them. Leaving CIU, I ended up as a medical interpreter through Lexington Medical Center and started bridging that gap with Hispanic patients, and ended up eventually in Memphis, Tennessee, where I work for a discipleship organization. I'm the women's director for an emerging leader program where we work with people who, just as they graduate from college, they come and do a 9-month discipleship program. And so we're trying to equip people for a lifestyle of discipleship for a lifetime. And I also have the privilege of getting to take teams of people overseas, partnering with local ministries to train them in discipleship.
I'm Lindsay LaDuke, and I graduated in 2009 with a degree in intercultural studies and Bible. And what I do is I work right here in Columbia, South Carolina, for Lutheran Services Carolinas, working with refugees who have come from all over the world and are coming here to start a new life. So one of the things I love about that is just getting to be that first face of welcome for people who are coming here to start their life anew.
Hi, my name is Amy Redding, and even though I think I'm the oldest person up here, I graduated the most recently in 2013 with my doctorate in educational leadership. What I do now, for the past 7 years, I've been helping to hire the Alliance missionaries. I did over 100 interviews to help the Alliance send new workers, and I was thinking about this. To know him and make him known, I sort of had a part in that with the Alliance by helping send over 100 missionaries. It's such an honor to be able to do that. Now I have a broader role. I'm the candidate recruitment and development person for the Alliance. And what that looks like is helping the next generation step into ministry within our denomination of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And I'd love to hang out with any of you that are Alliance or want to be Alliance and have lunch with you if you're interested in that.
Awesome.
Dustin Ventura. I graduated in 2009, went undergraduate and graduate school here, went off to be a teacher, now work with Child Evangelism Fellowship, Good News Clubs in elementary schools. Many of you may have gone through a Good News Club. And so what I do is I visit churches and individuals who have a passion for reaching children with the gospel. Most of them don't know Jesus. 8 out of every 10 children aren't in church. And so we're just reaching to evangelize the lost and connect them to a church.
Awesome. So diverse, you guys. God has them doing some awesome things. And what we've done is we've asked you guys some questions that you would want to ask recent alumni if they came back. And I've told them, hey, be transparent. We realize that when we get out of college, life after college is hard. There's things you weren't expecting, hurdles you have to overcome. The Lord is faithful through them. So as we go through, you guys know this, I told you this, but you know, be candid. Share with us the joys and the hardships about what you guys have faced after college. So we'll go into this. Betsy, will you start us off? What is one of the most important things that you took away from CIU?
CIU, for me, coming to seminary, I often refer to it as a retreat. And people are like, how was getting your master's a retreat? But this was a place of tremendous healing for me. And I think I encountered the relational side of God. I remember taking 4 pages of notes on the 5-minute devotional that Dr. Wagner would give at the beginning of his counseling classes. But he had this tremendous insight into the relational side of God, and this institution being a place where we don't just say that we value prayer, but we stop and we have whole days of prayer. I encountered people who walked with God, and this wasn't just intellectual, theological exercise. And so I credit CIU for a place of tremendous healing in my life. I arrived pretty broken, and I just encountered a God who sees us and a God who is real. And I knew it intellectually, but I met him here, and I'm really grateful for that.
And as you were here, you're able to take that into your ministry now of discipleship, because the God that you met here, you get to introduced to people out there. That's awesome. Ben, will you share a little bit with us about kind of one of the things that you took away from CIU?
Yeah, I'm going to cheat. I've got two things, not just one.
Go crazy.
But seconding you, Betsy, one of the most important things is not doctrinal, it's not theological, it was community. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest things I took from CIU. We lived in the village, which doesn't exist anymore, but yeah, there are a few of you out there, right? Who were kids maybe in the village. But the value of community when you're in college, when you're in the seminary, the apartments over here, just building community on campus was so crucial for myself, my wife. And as an example, in 2007, our first son passed away halfway through my seminary degree. And the professors that are here remember that. The community at CIU was so key in us walking through that grief and being able to be where we are today through that grief. And I appreciate all of you professors and the family who remembers that in 2007. So that was one big thing, community. The second really is, you know, I fell in love with the Word and making the passion that God gave me for His Word and the truth, taking that to the world. So really to know Him and make Him known, that really sums it up. And they didn't pay me to say that, guys. So.
Thanks for that plug. We appreciate it. Yes, please do.
I guess for me, I knew that God wanted me here. And I was a missionary for almost 20 years in Ecuador. And one day, it was my last year, I was finishing my master's degree. And a friend of mine from Ecuador, she was a nurse, she had just come back, I was in Quito. And she said, Amy, have you ever considered moving from your master's into your doctorate? And I had ever thought of that. She came in my classroom for like 30 seconds and said that and left. And that started me thinking. I remember having my interview with Dr. Watson, you know, sitting in an office in Quito and thinking, what am I doing? What is God, where's God leading me? Then we came back, we were at Tocoa Falls College. I was doing some teaching there. And then I was like, we only had one car. You know, when you're a missionary, you're kind of poor and you come back, what do you do? And I found out that my dear friend Debbie Moore was in the program as well, and she let me borrow all her books. So when I come here, I knew God wanted me here. And so I embraced every single class and chapel because I had that sense, God is in this. So that was, for me, really, really key that. Even coming back here today, I feel that peace and that joy of being here.
Hey, quick show of hands. How many of you guys, God connected the dots in weird ways to get you here? I was totally one of those people. So I hope that when you hear that, I see God's hand at work. I don't know how, I'm from Colorado. I don't know how I ended up in Columbia, South Carolina. I don't know if you guys ever get that. How'd you end up at school in Columbia, South Carolina? But it's a statement to what He's doing on this campus. Thank you for sharing, Amy. What is something, Aaron, I think you're gonna share this with us. What is something that you wish you'd paid more attention to while you were at CIU? Give us some tips, just a little bit of wisdom.
I love how I'm the one that got nominated for this. Okay, so professors, faculty, staff, y'all close your ears. This is just for the students. y'all might not still do this, but we had to sign these papers about the standards, and they'd break us down into meetings and explain why we weren't allowed to like watch rated our movies. Do I still do that here?
Yes. we've still got those.
Okay. Let's just be honest. Again, faculty and staff, you're not listening to this at this moment. There were basically two groups of students here, okay? There were those who like to honestly complain, I don't know why I can watch rated R movies, it's not going to bother me, and all of these other things that we weren't supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. There was a second group of kids, and this was who I fell into, was the ones, well, I already do this. This is how my parents are. They wouldn't let us do this, so I don't need to listen to this. And so I can honestly say I never listened in those meetings. So I saw a couple of y'all nod. So again, faculty and staff, y'all didn't hear this. So what I would like to tell you, though, that I have learned the hard way is that when you leave CIU, if your goal is to glorify and honor God. When you step out those doors, you step into a battle. Mm. And it is daily. And it is every single second of the day. And we know to put on the armor of God, but the thing of it is, we go out, we do battle, and then we come home. And what do you do when you come home? You get comfortable. You take off your shoes, you put on your bummy clothes. We take off that armor of God, and that is when we are the most vulnerable for Satan to get into our thoughts. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that you're watching rated R movies, or I've learned that we all have different things. What is a trigger for me? Is it going to matter to someone else? I have a guy friend who told me just a month ago that he can't watch HGTV because it makes him covet, and it makes him realize that his house isn't the way that he thinks that it needs to be. I know a lot of ladies now who will tell you that they can't watch Hallmark because, surprise, surprise, guys don't bring flowers to their wives every single day. Who knew, right?
Guys, so flower day if you,
I'm sorry if I just broke someone's bubble, okay? Yeah. So that's what I would just tell you is we all have these things that that we're going to be vulnerable to, and you need to learn and be on your guard and keep that helmet of salvation on. Protect your thoughts, because God has a great plan for you guys, and Satan wants to stop that. So keep that helmet of salvation on.
That's good. And you made a good point, Aaron Wright. This season wasn't forever. I mean, you weren't at CIU forever. You were here to be equipped and trained for a number of years and then move on. But how you chose to spend that time really set you up for success, or left you with more things that you had to figure out when you went out. So figure them out here. That's awesome. Good word. Lindsay, will you share with us something that you wish you'd paid more attention to while you're at CIU?
Yeah. I'll piggyback a little bit on what Aaron said, but I think this place is a place of preparation, and I wish I had seen it more as that, so that when I graduated and life started, I wasn't wrestling so much with some of the things that were kind of already handed to me. So I think being surrounded by people who are in the Word and will stop and pray with you and kind of wrestle through some of those difficult topics aren't always going to be there when you graduate. And so you're going to be faced with things, and I was faced with things that I hadn't come across before, and suddenly I didn't have a huge body of people that had all the time in the world. Not that y'all have time, but you'll realize when you're out of here that you probably had more time than you think. That's something else that I wish I had paid more attention to, was the time that I had. But just knowing that it was a place to prepare me and a place to really get involved in the community and learn, but that was really preparation for what was coming, and I wish I had paid more attention to that.
Lindsay, along the same lines, what were some of the biggest things you did that kind of helped prepare you for life, for not for life, but that helped prepare you to get the job that you're in, that you did in college?
Yeah, I think for me, looking back, of course, I didn't know in the moment, but looking back on the journey God brought me through, I think it was really intentional, the people that he brought into my life. And so I don't know what it's called here now, but we had field education. It's like the service that you have to do. And my senior year, I tutored a refugee from Burma in English. And I did that for a year, and I kept up that relationship after I graduated, and I did not go right into refugee resettlement. I worked at a life insurance company, filing papers and answering phones for a year and a half. It was not fun. I did not enjoy a second of it. But the reality is, keeping up that relationship opened the door for me to work in the job that I'm in now, and I've remained friends with that woman. I work with her today. And I think just not looking at her as a project or something that just needed to be done, and really fostering that relationship has kept up one of my closest friends that still doesn't know the Lord, but I've had numerous opportunities through my work and through my relationship with her to share the gospel. So I think just not discrediting the people that God brings into your life.
That's awesome. And then, Ben, you work with TEAM, which is the Evangelical Alliance Mission. And I had fun just kind of hearing about, will you share with the students how you got into that very unique niche of how do we use nature, especially in missions, to glorify God? Just share us a little bit, just quick picture of that journey from here to there.
Yeah, from here to there. Whew. How much time do we have now? When I graduated from college, I graduated with a double major in environmental biology and intercultural studies, and I had no idea how, and as a believer, I love Jesus, and I want to reach the lost. How in the world do you put together a love for creation, yeah, because God gave it to us to steward, a love for people and cultures and languages? There wasn't a place for that in 2002 to have a conversation in the church, and we're still struggling with that. So what does it look like for me to be involved now with this? you know, after college, undergrad, went on to do work as a wetland scientist in DC for a few years, got married, and then I did some tropical agriculture training, did some environmental education, all in the back of my mind, Lord, how do you want me to bring the gospel into this? And these were the Christian organizations, but how do we do this as Christians around the world? How do we bring the gospel into places where they have not heard it? So I'm not sure if I'm actually answering your question directly, but you know, God, step by step, opened doors and closed doors. And actually, one of the key things that he used to start the whole process to get us to Brazil as missionaries, which started the whole process, was a prayer day, of which I'm so thankful for, you mentioned as well. Taking a day specifically, not to be in classes, but down in the woods on a big boulder in the spring, my fourth year in seminary, I spent a good couple hours just journaling and praying, saying, God, I don't want to talk about Brazil. I don't want to go to Brazil. I know the issues with the mission. My parents are there. I don't want to work with my parents. Imagine that. And then as I looked at the trees starting to blossom, the flowers, the squirrels, and the birds are chirping, and I just started weeping. And I just realized, God, if you can bring creation to flourish every spring here, then you can take care of the things that I think are problems over there. So it was a Jonah story. I said, okay, God, I'll go. And I went back to our trailer, our mobile home in the village, and my wife at the same time said, hey, guess what? I had a conversation with so-and-so. We need to go to Brazil. So that was pretty clear. And through that, God used our work in Brazil and then getting into environmental missions, basically, just loving his creation and loving people. So I can talk more about that Saturday I'll be here as well. So.
I love it. Aaron, will you share a little bit with us of your journey after college that led to the creation of your magazine?
I was diagnosed with lupus when I was 18 years old. I was a senior in high school. While I was at CIU, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And about 6 months after I graduated from CIU, I was diagnosed with Crohn's. And that is the point where I decided, I'm going to be honest, I decided to quit on God because I felt like he had quit on me. And I was a house parent in a children's home in South Carolina, absolutely loved it, got to work with some amazing children. And about the point that I got diagnosed with Crohn's, every single organ in my body was inflamed. And I had to quit my job and move back in with my parents at the age of 25. And I remember standing in my bedroom with the blinds closed, the door closed, lights off. And I remember standing with my Bible that had got me through CIU, and I remember just standing over the trash can, and I came so close to just chunking it, honestly. Wow. And because of CIU, I remember telling God, you know what, Lord, I'm gonna give you one more chance to show me who you are, because quite frankly, this doesn't feel loving if you're a loving God, and this doesn't feel good if you're a good God. And through that, I will tell you, don't challenge God. He honestly, I got put on two immunosuppressants that completely shut down my immune system. I did not leave my parents' house for 2 years. I was locked in my parents' house, and I had time to study God's word. And I'm so thankful that CIU taught me how to study and truly, truly study God's word. And through that, I realized that there are a lot of believers out there who are going through the same thing. One in two Americans will have a chronic illness at some point in their life. One in six Americans are dealing with a mental illness. And through that, it just started with conversations. And it just kind of grew from there. And Broken But Priceless Ministries was started. To the best of my knowledge, we're in 14 different countries, but that's just people who tell me, who get the magazine. I've been speaking with a lady from South Africa this month. I spoke with a man from England. And it's just kind of snowballed. And it's really neat getting to learn all these things. And so we put a magazine out, and I've got 12 writers that are published, and they're amazing, and they work for free. And God has just put all of this together to reach and just encourage people and show that God is in the brokenness, and he is in suffering, and he is a good God, and he is a loving God.
Thanks for sharing. I appreciate that transparency. It's a journey, you know? It's a journey, an absolute journey. Dustin, will you share this a little bit? You were a teacher, and now you are over CEF in the greater PD area. How did you get from classroom to CEF?
Well, being a male for elementary education gives you a, you know, you are the minority, so you're treated well. In fact, that's one of the reasons I ended up at CIU, because I was one of the only men that were coming into that program wanting to teach in elementary school. I mean, most of your schools have women in them, which is thankful. But that's how I met my wife. She taught art. I taught second grade, and so, you know, I spent a lot of time in the art room, and I don't care for art much. But so back to the question. From CIU, the people that I connect with, the professors that I still have several in my phone, I can call and talk up and even come back on campus a lot, recognize your name. Maybe because I was the only male really in the program that stuck that long in the program. But also because I spent time and recognized, hey, these are the pillars that I want to sort of follow. They're following a Christian life. I want to follow after them. Mm-hmm. And that helped a good bit. Well, after school, went off to, I came in to be a teacher. I ended able to be a teacher. I was hired for the school I went to the day I graduated, which was kind of nice and made choices easier. And then got teaching. Well, as I was teaching school, met my wife, the story. As I was teaching, you know, this burden came more of, I can only tell these children so much before I start getting in trouble, you know, or start getting this light on me. And I came from a background of evangelizing children because I was a summer missionary. So after presenting the gospel clearly and unashamedly, after a student asked me a question about Jesus in the class, I said, you know, maybe I need a bigger platform than this classroom where I'm limited. I have to teach all these things and love teaching them, you know, scripture as well, you know, when I could. But so I said, you know, there's something more here I need to pursue than staying in this limit. So I was connected again with CEF because they contacted me and asked me if I would be serving in that way over in Myrtle Beach. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I prayed about it. God opened the door and we went.
That's awesome. Quick theme I'm putting together. You guys see a need. You're in an area, whether it's a need in your own life or a need in the life of a community around. You see a need and you're creating, right? You're saying, Lord, how can I step into this need? How can I be a bigger part of what you're doing? And to see where the Lord has placed each of you guys is awesome. Real quick, that's a countdown. Oh, that's weird. I'm a real talk person, you guys. I like real talk, but then I also like encouragement. So will you guys just go down the line real quick? Aaron, start with you. Will you share one thing that was hard after college that you weren't expecting, just kind of a reality, but then will you also share just a highlight of something that, you know, that happened to you right after college?
The hardest thing for me was that at school we have all of these plans, these dreams that we just think are just going to happen a certain way. And I can just tell you, my life did not go the way I planned. And so that was the hardest thing for me. And yet it was through the brokenness of that happened that I saw God do some amazing things. I've gotten to travel to England. I've gotten to work with an orphanage in Pakistan for sick kids and just do some amazing things. And that's something that only God can do, where he can come in and take the hard parts of our life and use it in amazing ways.
I second that. You know, we have all these plans, and I had plans to do Peace Corps and chose to put that on hold because my dad said, you know, you should do it. If you can do environmental work, do it in the Lord's name specifically. So that's what led to this transitions for me. And my plans didn't work out the way I wanted to, and I'm so glad, because a lot of times the hardest times for us are usually the best times when we're closest to the Lord. That's by design, I believe. God's trying to teach us to trust him. So hard, yet encouraging as well. It's learning to trust the Lord through all the struggles, all the trials. That's the best place to be.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a theme probably the whole way down the line. But I would say that probably within just a year or two after graduating from seminary, every one of my close friends went through a deep tragedy, whether it was a mother killed in a horrible car accident, whether it was cancer, whether it was babies dying, whether it was spouses leaving in a divorce. Like, crisis and trauma is right around the corner, because we live in a post-Genesis 3 world. It's a broken world, but there's a God who redeems. And there's nothing more that you can do, a better way to invest your time than to know the God and have your foundation secure in him. Because the losses, the betrayals, you're going to come face to face with the extent of other people's sin that you would never imagine possible towards you, you're going to come face to face with the darkness of your own heart, and you're probably going to realize that you're going to do things and say things that you never imagined doing. And so as you enter into or continue to walk in life and see the brokenness and sin around you, you're going to be tempted to despair. You're going to be tempted to turn on God. But He is the only faithful one. He's the only true one. And as you look to Him, man, just let the cross become bigger in your eyes. As you get to know Him more, you're going to see Him to be a greater and more holy God. You're also going to see your sin, but it makes the cross that much more amazing because He gave His life for us. Mm-hmm. So trials are just around the road, but don't turn your back on the one who is your lifeline and is your source of life.
Amen. Lindsay.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the hardest things kind of echoed was just plans not being what I thought they would be. Graduating and working at a life insurance company, not most of your dreams, I'm sure. And that was hard. I mean, I think it took a lot of humbling, you know, to know that that was where the Lord had me for that time. And I think when you're sitting out there, you don't want to think that that might be the possibility of what's next around the corner, because you're in a training ground to be in the world and to do great things. And sometimes we can, in that, kind of shortcut how the Lord wants to work and what He wants, how He wants to use you. And I think that year after CIU was a really tough year for me, but what it brought me back to was kind of what Betsy was saying, just the gospel, just that the Lord had given me salvation, and how dare I kind of look Him in the face and say, well, what about all these other things I wanted in life? Why didn't you do that yet? And it was very humbling, but such a necessary lesson to learn, to see that the Lord had done so much for me, and my role and my really job for the Lord was to shine, to be a light in a dark, dark place, even in a life insurance company, even answering phones. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably, even in that really difficult time, the Lord has used that. And I didn't know what the next 10 years of my life would look like, but knowing where I am now and what the Lord has brought me through with walking with friends, walking some really challenging situations in my own life, that was the lesson that He was like, you need in this moment. You need everything kind of stripped away and all the dreams at your feet to know who I am and what I've done for you. And I think, you know, just to be extra vulnerable, if that's okay. We recently lost a baby. I carried a baby to full term with a fatal birth defect. And what has hit me over and over again through this past 9 months is that the Lord is my only hope. There are many things that I've wished for in life, for my family, for myself, for my friends, but ultimately, the Lord is my hope. That's who I trust in, and we have the hope of heaven, which is the ultimate. And if we can't come to terms with that, I think any disappointment in life can be the most crushing and really shake your faith. So I think that hard year after CIU was such a pivotal moment in my life where the Lord brought me to a really low point. And I, at that moment, I'm like, this is the lowest point. I didn't know I could get lower. But that's okay, because the Lord knows, He sees, and he lays the foundation for what you're going to walk through. And I think in the hardness of walking through dreams at my feet, the Lord really brought me to Himself. And he's done that again in the past year.
Wow, thanks for sharing. All right, real quick.
I think for me, sometimes I've seen people like worship their plans. You know, this is it. This is what I'm going for. And that kind of happened to me. I was at Tocoa. I was doing student ministry and teaching at Junkley. And I was getting my doctorate here. I had taught for 20 years, you know, and I thought, oh, I'm going to be a teacher ed professor at Tocoa Falls College. I applied. I was in line to get this position. And then at the last minute, they hired somebody else. And I was so devastated, like thinking, Lord, I thought this is what you had for me. I thought you wanted me to raise up the next generation of educators. What is going on? Yeah. And it was funny because I was in my 50s there at Tocoa. And so I felt on the same wavelength with all the seniors who were trying to figure out, what do I do with my life? I said, I understand. I'm feeling the same thing. Mm-hmm. But what was cool, I have never had this happen to me before or since, but I was driving back from Tocoa Falls College, and in the sky, you know how the airplanes will fly and you see their trail? Well, there was one going this way and one going this way. And the Lord said, I'm about to do a new thing. I'm going to take you a totally different direction. And a couple weeks later, I was asked, would you consider moving to Colorado Springs to help us hire the new missionaries for the Alliance? And because I had prayed through it and just been really sensing God was leading, I said yes to that. But same thing, plans totally changed from what I thought.
That's awesome. Dustin, real quick, close us out.
All right, quickly. The hardest thing is taking that next step in ministry, whether it's to go into ministry from a secular world where you're comfortable, or whether it's to do another thing that's daring opposed from where you've been. That next step is really what tests your faith.
Good word. Hey, guys, can we thank them real quick just for taking their time? Thanks, you guys can go ahead and go.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.